Three, two, one.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Exfabula Radio Time on 89.7 WUWM, part of Lake Effect Weekend, every weekend. I'm Bruce Winter with Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney, and about this time every week, I turn to Leah and I say, what are we doing? And then you've got a theme for us every day.
Yes. And of course, I brought stories with me today. Our theme this week is A Nation of Dreamers. We have very powerful stories from a couple of Milwaukeeans in light of what's going on politically with DACA and Martin Luther King Jr. Day that just happened. As a society, are still full of dreamers here. And it's unfortunate and a tragedy that certain marginalized communities and races are still dreaming to be treated with dignity and as human beings. So as I mentioned, we did bring a couple of stories in relation to our Nation of Dreamers. Let's start out our show today with a story told by Marshall Hemphill, who was a Milwaukee fellow with Exfabula. He told a story at our fellowship event talking to kids about race. Let's listen to his story.
My story begins in 1964 in West Helena, Arkansas. It was a time in America where things were just totally chaotic. The Vietnam War was at full rage. Its civil rights marches, war protest marches. President Johnson signed the Civil Rights Bill. There was so much going on in America, and West Helena was no exception. My mom, she was a single mother of six boys, me being the youngest. She had the task of teaching us about racism. I was already used to the everyday stuff that I saw being followed through the stores. And we sat at TV and watched Walter Cronkite talk about showing how police wouldn't allow black kids to go in certain schools. And we saw in Mississippi how blacks was harmed. But that was a distance away from us. My mom, she taught us that the best answer to racism is education. But there are times when you're going to see it, you're going to touch it, and you're going to taste it, and you're going to feel the hatred that stems from it. And you'll have every right to be angry. But whatever you do, don't allow it to consume you. She took us to, me and my twin brother, to a civil rights march. On two different occasions, the same police officer approached her with his baton in his hand from the back, and he just jabbed her in the back with his baton on two different occasions. And I was terrified. I was helpless. I couldn't do anything about it. But my mom, she took our hands, and she continued to march. And at the end of that day when we got home, she said something that I didn't expect. She said, you gotta remember all white people, not bad people. But anybody who spent some time in Arkansas during August and September, you know how hot it can get. Well, on an August day, she had me and my twin brother to meet her at Dr. Cape's office, because we had to have our shots before school start. Well, we made it to the doctor's office where she was gonna meet us. We went sat in the hot box. The hot box is a waiting room for black people. There are no air conditioning, dirty seats, dirty furniture. And me and my brother, we made a decision that we were gonna go into the white waiting room and sit on the air conditioner and cool off. We didn't have any kind of point we needed to make or anything to prove. We just wanted to cool off. It was two white women sitting there. We went in, we picked up a magazine, was playing a game. What's on this page is mine, and what's on this page is yours. And after about maybe 5-10 minutes, one of the women pointed to us, said, "Okay, boys, it's time for y'all to go back in the back. You can cool off now." We ignored her. We continued to play the game. And again, she repeated herself, "Boys, it's time to go in the back room." And we ignored her. And she got up, both of them got up, approached us, was reaching for us, grabbing at us, and we resist, we were pulling back. And the receptionist, she came around the table and joined in. And about that time, like a wrecking ball, my mother came through the door. She took one of the women and threw her into the wall face first, and she threw the receptionist back across the table. And the other woman went out the door. Dr. Capes came around, came out, rushed us back into his office, gave us our shots, and told my mother, "Sir Bernice, take your boys and y'all go out the back door here." She said, "No, I didn't come in the back door. I'm not leaving the back door." And they stared at each other for about 5 to 10 seconds. I knew what was going on in my mother's mind, but I didn't know what was going on in his mind. Later, I found out. The next day we visited, next time we visited his office, the wall was gone that separated the rooms, and it was just one big waiting room. He lost all his white customers because of that. But I realized that maybe all white people ain't bad people. Time went by, and seemed like racism had taken a break. We were sitting in class one day, and the principal spoke over a loudspeaker. "Dr. Martin Luther King's been shot and killed." And like a tidal wave went through the school. You could hear people screaming and crying. Me and my brother, we took off running. We ran to where my mother worked. She worked in the home of white people. We went there, and she was on the floor in a fetal position, crying uncontrollably. And we kneeled down beside her, and the lady walks in and said, "Bernice, you got to get up now. So your boys is here, and they're walking on my carpet." I knew that I had witnessed racism, the ugly side of racism. Time came for me to teach my own kids. I told them the best way to handle racism is through education. Learn to care about people regardless of the color of their skin. Sometimes you're going to witness racism. You're going to see it. You're going to touch it. You're going to taste it. And you'll have every reason to be outraged. But whatever you do, don't allow it to consume you.
And that was one of Exfabula Fellows, Marshall Hemphill, who told his story originally at our fellowship.
I'll tell you what, that is one of those stories that you stop what you're doing and listen, because he has some important things to say in the course of his, you know, 5.5 minutes there. But I'm sitting here thinking, as a middle-class white guy, I have never experienced the pain that the racism that he survived. And although I can't directly relate because I have not been there, I understand.
Which, in a sense, is the point of Exfabula, bringing stories that you might not hear sitting in your communities with your friends and your families. So bringing those stories to the table, especially right now, is so critical to our society, to Milwaukee as a microcosm as well.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to swing right into our next story. This one was told at our Refugees Storytelling event, which is a curated storytelling event that was held at Marquette's Hagerty Museum in November. Let's listen to David Najib Kassir.
My name is David Najib Kassir. I'm not a refugee, really, but I come from refugees. My grandfather was a refugee from Turkey. He escaped Turkey, the Armenian genocide. It's a war that not a lot of people know that exists. Turkey still denies it ever happened. but it was around World War I. But he escaped with his grandmother. His both his parents were killed along with his siblings, and they made their way into Syria. Eventually, my mother met my father through an arranged marriage, and they made their way to Chicago. And at some time after I was born and my sister was born, my mother went back to Syria, and where we lived for 4 years or so. My mother would want us to, you know, have our, you know, history ingrained on us of being Arabs, which was also very awkward here in America because in the 80s, it wasn't really, or early 80s especially, it wasn't really Arab friendly, per se. Not that much has changed. One thing that always interests me is my mother's decision to come back to Chicago. I always think of that now to where Syria is today. At the time, my mother and my father were living separately. My father was in Chicago, and my mother had me and my two sisters in Syria. And I would guess that after much convincing for my father, my mother decided to pick up again and move back. That is always sort of a... When I think of what's going on today, I always think of, like, what could have been? Who would I have been if my mother did not make that one decision? Which side would I be on? Would I be with the refugees? Would I be with the army? Would I be with the insurgents? So the war has been going on for over 6 years now, and we still have family over there. Some of them have made their way to the country, to America and other parts of the world, and some still remain. So I'm an artist, and I've been trying to get people aware of what's going on in Syria for 6 years. As you know, the news has not been covering it as well, up until last year, really. And so I have been trying to push art to teach people of who these people are. I know the American perception of what Arabs are. I've lived through it. And, you know, after 9/11, the narrative has changed. You know, we still have a president right now that doesn't paint my people in the right way. So, I've been trying to detail images of the people and their struggles and what they're trying to do to survive. And I would encourage everybody to find ways to get the message out about refugees and what they go through, and find ways to help and support. There's a big community here in Milwaukee with the refugee supporters, and they help take people in and help find them places to live and furniture and stuff like that. I've adopted a family that I looked after every once in a while, and just do what I can. There's always something to do. I encourage everybody to look out to see what they can do. Okay?
And that was David Najib Kassir's story, who told his refugee story at the Marquette Haggerty Museum.
And someone who is, you know, working to make change through his artwork. Mm-hmm. So way to go, David. So we haven't talked about what's coming up yet, and I know you have a crowded calendar in this midwinter.
We do. We do. We are going to jump back into our normal monthly Story Slam event starting on February 7th. We will be back at the Lakefront Brewery. The theme of that particular night is first time, considering the fact it's right before Valentine's Day.
Aww.
And everything else that involves with your interpretation of first time, those stories will be told. So we would like to invite Milwaukee to come. Lakefront Brewery is quite large space, but last time we were close to selling out. So my recommendation is to definitely go to exfabula.org to get your tickets for that Story Slam, as well as getting all information related to stories and Milwaukee.
And if you want to hear today's stories again, which might not be a bad idea, or if you want to share them with others, you'll find them at WUWM.com. Until next week, Leah.
See you then.
All right.